You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
So what's the deal with this Nexus place? We just fight each other forever.
And Daryl.
Try not to be blinded by the light. Unless you want to get lost in the dunes in the middle of the night.
Hey, welcome to episode 164 of The Training Dummies. Hold on.
Nice.
Wouldn't be a podcast without a restart.
Oh, we're not restarting anything. No way.
Good.
Yeah. It's April 19th. I'm Rob, and I can fly. I can show you the world on my magic sandstone Drake, if you let me. Daryl, how are you doing tonight, man?
Me? I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this talk this evening about heroes, since we've been stealing Heroes clips for 2 years now, and we haven't done that many shows on it, so I think it's good to do another one.
It's good, man. I've been way into it lately, playing a lot, keeping up my quests and all that stuff. I don't know if you heard the voice earlier. We are joined by a very special guest, DJ Tyrant, who is going to tell us all about something very special. But before we get to that, can we have a warm Training Dummies welcome? DJ Tyrant, I feel like calling you Jimmy. I think that's going to be easier for me.
Yeah, that's fine. Go for it.
How you doing tonight, man? Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm good. It's a really exciting time to be either getting back into Heroes or getting into Heroes for the first time. So I'm really happy to be talking about 2.0 and all the stuff coming with that.
I was super, like, way into Heroes. Like the whole, you know, like, get everybody to at least level 10, and I owned every single hero and all that stuff, and then I don't know, I kind of think I hit a wall with it because I wasn't playing competitively or wasn't playing Hero League much, and it just like I got sucked back into Warcraft after Legion came out. So it's been a little while, but this last week I've been playing a lot more lately, and it's kind of, I guess, seeing what's coming is kind of invigorated the fun a little bit for me. Why don't you tell us a little bit how you got into Heroes and even podcasting, a little bit of your background.
Yeah, so as far as getting into Heroes, I'm an unabashed Blizzard fanboy and have been since like Warcraft 2 and really StarCraft. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I played a bit of Warcraft 3 and kind of dabbled in Dota, but wasn't super into it. But as soon as they announced what was originally called Blizzard Dota at the time at BlizzCon, I was like super into it. I'm like, okay, this will be a cool mod for StarCraft 2, and then it like disappeared for a year or two, and they're like Heroes of the Storm, and they had this awesome cinematic at BlizzCon, and I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta get into this game, this is so cool, all the Blizzard heroes just fighting each other, that's a rad concept, like, mm-hmm. Get me into that game. And that was really what got me into Heroes, and like probably a year, maybe 2 years into like the Heroes life cycle, mm-hmm. I got really involved in content creation and casting and stuff like that, and obviously the podcast has been going on for a while as well. So we actually did episode 100 last night, so I'm super excited to be a part of it. But it was really cool, and yeah, as far as podcasting, I think a lot of people my age kind of got into podcasting through Leo Laporte and This Week in Tech. Like, I thought that whole concept was super cool. And there was a podcast I did a few years ago with a friend, and then I just wasn't podcasting for a number of years before I actually got invited by BlizzPro and Twiz over there to be a part of this Heroes of the Storm just content show. At first, it wasn't like a big grand plan to be a weekly podcast. We were just like, oh, we're going to just talk about Heroes whenever we feel like it. And it just turned into a weekly thing, and it was the rest is history, really. And about 40 episodes in, Twiz had to take a step back, and so I stepped up and took over hosting the show and producing and all that. So it's been a good experience from that. And the really cool thing is that Blizzard has hired this woman named Bethany, or Lashes, if you know her on Twitter. Uh-huh, and basically, her entire job is to communicate with the content creators. And so that's been really cool for us. We've gotten out myself. I've gotten to be able to go to a lot of really cool things like this media summit, which we're going to talk about with Heroes 2.0. And also they've started showing different broadcasters on the launcher, and we've been on there a few times, and it's just, it's so cool to be like officially promoted like that.
I know, it's amazing. Like,
stress how cool that is, and I think they're starting to do that with Hearthstone. I'm just hoping they hit all their properties with that, because it is really cool, and I think super valuable to the community at large.
I know, sometimes I feel like I pledge allegiance to the wrong game, with Warcraft being my mainstay, because I see Heroes and Overwatch and Hearthstone getting a ton of attention and a lot of, like you said, on the launcher and all that, and we don't stream a whole lot. I do personally, here and there, but it's like, man, if you're in the right game at the right time, you can just hit that stride and have some really good experiences.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm surprised they haven't hit that with the Warcraft stuff yet, but they should. And I hope they're doing that.
Well, that's awesome. I'm off my game tonight, man. I don't know.
What
the heck happened?
Yeah, I was ready to start.
I know. I don't know what happened, man. I'm excited though. Was there anything else that you wanted to, hit up on the intro before we got into the good stuff?
Just thanks to my co-host on Heroes Power Hour for dealing with me every week. Balrog fans, Xeris, Elena, and Carl, you guys are awesome, and I appreciate you guys so much for talking Heroes with me and having a podcast.
All right. Rob, do you have any bonus questions before we get into the good stuff?
No, I'm just ready for 2.0.
All right.
This is Hazel from Hazelnutty Games, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD. So yes, Heroes 2.0, that I believe is coming out next Tuesday.
April 25th, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the perfect time to be talking about it. I saw the initial post. I didn't quite understand everything that was coming. So I guess we should jump into some of this. Progression, how is that going to change with 2.0?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest and most asked thing that players have been wanting from Heroes. There's always been a cap at 40 on your account level.
Uh-huh.
And that just gated a lot of things. Like, I don't think it doesn't gate getting into Hero League anymore. I think you have to have a certain number of heroes at a certain level. But it used to, in the past, gate a lot of the kind of competitive content. And then you just hit 40, and that was it. You didn't go anymore on your account. Heroes are also getting they're currently capped at level 20, and that's quite a grind right now. But people that did hit 20, it kind of felt a little bad to be continuing to play those heroes because you just were not getting anything more necessarily out of playing them versus other heroes where you could be working towards getting the next tier of reward, which is usually gold after level 10.
Mm-hmm.
So they've basically redone the entire progression system. Account level is a sum total of all of your heroes' levels together. So you can actually see that right now in your account total hero level. So you have an idea of what it would be like when 2.0 rolls in. And they've uncapped the hero levels. They said there's an actual cap in there because of programming stuff. You have to have something there.
Yeah.
But they were like, no one should reach it in their lifetime. So
challenge accepted.
That's what they said at the media summit. I was like, I was about to say, I'm like, that's just asking players to do that. And they've also made the progression a lot more even. Rob, I'm sure you're aware of this. Like, the grind from like 9 to 10 is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
It's a lot more even now, so it feels just a little bit better. And your master's, you won't get master skins anymore from hitting that master level on your hero. And that's been moved to 15. I think it's the exact same amount of XP, but the progression just feels better because you're getting rewarded more often for leveling up heroes and such like that. Obviously, the rewards now, instead of just gold, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but they're adding loot crates to the game.
Yeah.
Which should be really cool, and I'm excited to see how many people this brings back. Because I know of some people who were like, I can't level up the hero that I like anymore, so I'm done playing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's just what players want to go towards. They aren't necessarily competitive or not. They're just like, oh, I want to get more rewarded for continuing to play the hero that I like.
Yeah, I didn't even
know.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead, man.
I was going to say, I didn't even know they went to 20 before. I thought like 10, because 9 to 10 was really bad. And then after that was just astronomical. I hit one at the level 10 and just stopped playing it because I had so many others that I still needed to get up there. So this is good. This is because it's basically my favorite character that I had for the longest time. And I just stopped playing it because it didn't feel rewarding to play it after even level 10. So looking forward to this.
Jimmy, do you have any at level 20?
No, my highest is Malfurion at 13, I think.
I think I, like, even with stim packs, I made, like I said earlier, a big push to get a lot of heroes to 10. And I was looking through earlier, and I have several at 10, but I've got a lot at the, you know, the 7, 8, 9 area, and I think maybe a couple at 11 or 12. But it's like, yeah, like Daryl was saying, you hit a point where it's like, you're not really getting a whole lot from it at that point. You don't get the master skin as a reward or anything. You still have to buy it. So it kind of felt like, okay, well, let me play something new. And as new heroes kept coming out, I didn't feel like I had a reason to go back because, you know, Li Ming came out. Well, why would I want to play Reyna or Jaina anymore? You know, Li Ming was awesome. And she, you know, before she got nerfed and all that. So
yeah, that's a whole other can of worms just because she was so good at launch. Oh my goodness. But yeah, yeah, this progression should be a lot better for players. They'll get reward more often, and you'll get rewards much faster than in the current system.
We could talk about rewards right now. We don't have to. I know I got a little bit further down in the notes, but you mentioned the loot crates, and it was like right shortly after Overwatch came out. I was like, man, Heroes needs to take some notes from this, and it looks like they had. So why don't you talk about the loot crates a little bit and what that looks like?
I mean, it's pretty much the exact system in Overwatch in the sense that there's 4 items per loot crate. You have a guaranteed rarity item in each crate. And then there's also the forget what they exactly call it, but the same thing in opening Hearthstone packs and opening Overwatch boxes, but you're basically guaranteed a legendary at a certain point if you have bad luck.
The
pity timer, bad luck, protection, etc. They have that built in. And the amount of items is just insane. I mean, they've added so many different just cosmetics. I mean, we had skins, obviously. We had mounts. But now we have banners that get dropped onto the battlefield when you capture either a fort or a keep or I believe just the mercenary camps on the map. So you kind of leave your stamp of approval kind of there. Emojis are coming as well for in-game chat and out-of-game chat, just in the Heroes client. They're just fun little things. I mean, they were talking about how they brought it up to their artists at Blizzard, and they just got a ton of art like really quickly, just because people just jumped on it.
People love that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
And for those who like to taunt in game, sprays are coming in, similarly to what's in Overwatch. Just lets you spray on the battlefield, and there's some really really cool designs there. If you haven't had a chance to. Well, you'll see it next week, but if you've been in the beta, you can kind of see what's there. And there's this really cool Li Ming one where she has like sunglasses on. She's like doing like a tip of the hat with her finger like thing. It's so funny. And then there's taunts as well, which I believe are the voice lines. And then so there was a little bit of controversy because they were basically taking away the master skins as a reward for hitting a certain level with the hero, and they're just available through just the normal reward system now in 2.0. But they're giving these mastery taunts, and that'll really show off what level your hero is in game. And they look pretty cool. I think it's a good compromise. There's just so much stuff to unlock now, so it'll be cool to see what players, especially longtime players, get on day one, because I think the cap is like 70 boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just to reward players.
Yeah, I heard some fussing about that too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's got to be a cap on it at some point, just because you don't want. I this probably sounds super greedy, but like you don't want some person to just immediately get every single item that you created. You want kind of give them some incentive to progress going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of have to trust Blizzard at this point to say, all right, we know you've been playing since, you know, alpha or beta or whatever, and, you know, you've put a lot of work in, and here's the translation of that into these reward boxes. And it may be the same as somebody who's only been playing a year, but, you know, there has to be a cap.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, the thing we haven't even touched on with the loot crates is you can also re-roll them if you don't like the items you get. And it costs a certain amount. It costs gold to do that. So the first one is like 500. The second one is like 1,000, and then 1,500. So a maximum of three times. Mm-hmm. But you're really rolling the dice for it because you're not guaranteed the same rarity that you opened up.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and there are actually loot crates that are guaranteed certain rarities. So there's like a rare loot crate, a epic loot crate. I don't know if there's a legendary one, but there's definitely the option, I'm sure, to do something like that going forward. But yeah, since it's the PTR, I tried it a bunch of times, and it's kind of fun to re-roll it and see if you get something better. Nice.
So with the different loot crates, then I'm guessing those will come at maybe different milestones while you're leveling. Like it will, once you hit a different account level or a player level, then mm-hmm. you get a rare one, and then as you level up, you'll get a better one. Is that how that works? Or
yeah, I believe so. It's complex. I don't remember the exact details of everything, but there's a lot of rewards to keep players playing for it. And I think I remember them saying that leveling heroes, when you hit certain milestones, you'll get a crate that's guaranteed to have an item for that hero itself. Which is cool. And I mean, basically everything in the game is available through these loot crates now. All the skins are available, and that's been something people have been asking for a while, is to be able to get skins through just regular gameplay somehow, like not having to spend real money on it. Obviously, we'll get into the currency part in a little bit, but you can actually buy the boxes similar to Overwatch. Also, well, I'll just start talking about the currency because
just 1 second. I have a question before we get into the currency, though. How do you earn the loot boxes normally, like without buying them? How do you earn them? Like, what do you have to do?
Player levels and through character levels. So just leveling your
kind of like Overwatch. And playing the
game. I haven't played Overwatch since it like came out, pretty much. So I'm not even sure how that works, really. Yeah, exactly.
This PvE thing that came out last week, man, it's so good. And you get get two loot boxes. This. You get like two loot boxes just for doing the normal one and the other one. Yeah, it's fun as heck too.
I forgot about that.
And you can put it on easy mode for old guys like us.
I need more time in the day. Okay, so
you've been too busy playing Hearthstone on your phone.
Yeah, I don't think so. So it's from your player level and character level.
Yeah, correct. Okay, I'm looking for the details. For every 10 levels you earn with the same hero, you receive a hero specific loot chest. So that's when you get that. Okay, here's a table from the webpage. You get common loot chests every player level that does not reward a rare or epic loot chest. Get a rare chest every 5 player levels, and epic every 25 player levels, and hero specific every 10. I know it's really confusing, but
it makes sense. Like, you know, it's kind of at those milestone numbers that you would get something, you know, relevant to your account or to that particular hero.
Oh, and the other item we didn't talk about, which I think is probably my favorite thing, is you can unlock announcers to replace the battleground announcers. So you could have Abathur calling out stuff on the battlefield. And also, Murky is one of them, and I feel like that's the worst one you would ever want to use, because you're like, wait, what does Murky say?
Well, you know, there's this hardcore Murky fans.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like, I think that sucks, but, like, somebody would love it. All right, so you wanted to... Let's just get into the currency. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's gold and BattleNet balance, which is basically...
cash.
Which has gotten more complicated recently, but yeah.
It's basically cash.
Blizzard points that you buy with cash or with Warcraft gold, which is a whole nother... Mm-hmm. I'm loving that thing. I'm hoping that they find ways where maybe you can translate Hearthstone gold or Diablo gold back into your account as well. That would be awesome. But okay, this, you've got gold and now you've got some other forms of currency. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the real money currency is gems. So you can buy gems to buy more loot crates and buy certain items that are on sale. It's like, similarly, right now there's always a hero or amount or usually skins on sale at a cheaper price. They'll continue doing that, and you'll buy those with the gems going forward. So it's a little more confusing, unfortunately. It harkens back to the days of early Xbox Live, where the Microsoft points aren't exactly translating to a dollar, and it was super frustrating because you'd have all these weird, like, leftover points that you couldn't do anything with. I'm hoping that's not a problem here, but we'll see. You can earn gems, but they're pretty rare from earning. I think that the biggest one is at, like, player level 10, you get, like, 1,000 to play with. And that's enough for, like, 10 loot boxes if you want, or loot crates if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also, similarly to Overwatch, there's crafting materials called shards. And so if you open a loot chest and you already have that item and you decide not to reroll it, you'll get the shards for that. And shards, you can craft pretty much everything. I think 99% of all cosmetics, and actually heroes you can buy with them as well, I think. Well, no. Heroes you can buy with gold. You still buy with gold or gems, I think. That's the only difference. if there's a specific skin you want and you have enough shards, you can craft that so you have it forever. And the interesting thing is they've broken out all the skins. You know how there's three tints for each skin? They're each in own individual skin now going forward, and they're all named different things.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So I guess it's good if you don't particularly like all of the tints, so you can have just the one you want going forward.
Well, it's kind of funny that some heroes, and I was talking about this while I was playing right before this, like, I was playing Arthas, right? And it's like, you start to unlock the different color variations, and it's like, here's blue Arthas, here's slightly more blue Arthas, here's blue Arthas with a little bit of gray on it, and you're like,
yeah,
okay. or like Stitches, it's like, blue, bluish, grayish, purple stitch, and you're like, they look the same, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's my problem with all the Ragnaros tints, is like, oh, it's a variation on red. Uh-huh, thanks.
Yeah. look, that one's got some orange in with the red, yeah. Okay. But yeah, so those are all going to be listed as individual skins now, rather than just different tints of the same skin?
Yeah, going forward. And if you have, I believe if you have the skin already bought, even if you don't have the three color variations unlocked through the hero level, you'll get access to all three in 2.0.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
So I think you mentioned this already. So anything that you have already, or anything that you open that's a duplicate, whether it be any of the new flair, the banners, you know, voice lines, or any of that stuff, that will be converted into currency if you open up a duplicate in a loot box.
Yeah, correct. And it seems to be a similar conversion to how Overwatch is, where, like, even a legendary is only, like, it's not enough to buy another legendary item.
Yeah. So it's not like... Well, in Hearthstone, if you get a golden legendary, you can dust that and get and actually make a whole another legendary with it. I think the value of these legendaries are going to end up being a lot less than that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so gold, gems, and shards. That seems a little much. Do you think they took a good route with the currency now, or is this turning into one of those microtransaction things? Or
I don't know. I feel like it's a little too microtransaction-y, especially with the gems, and I have a feeling you're going to get to a point where you have like 20 gems and you have nothing. You can't buy a single thing with it. You're like, what do I do with this? Gold, I guess they wanted to keep that just because players already have a bunch of gold. And the gold sink is obviously going to be in the rerolling of the chests. And the only other thing that gold will be used for is unlocking heroes. If that's something you want to do, I'm sure they're still going to be the same price that they are now. So when a hero is first released, 15,000 gold, and then 2 weeks later drops to 10,000. And then obviously some of the heroes are much cheaper than that. The other thing we didn't touch on, but because of how many items there are now going to be in Heroes 2.0, they've actually added a loadout panel for your hero in the hero selection. You can have three profiles per hero, and basically you can customize every single thing you can customize on that hero: the skin, their mount, their banner, their spray, their voice line, and everything with that. So if you have a specific combination of cosmetics you want for Tracer or something like that, you can save that easily for yourself, which is pretty cool.
And you could save more than one of those?
Yeah, you can save up to three.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So I know, like, you know, depending on what, you know, if you're playing with a certain set of friends and you want to be all coordinated or something, you could do that. Huh?
Yeah, most definitely.
Nice.
Coordinated skins. Hey, man, I'm the guy that, like, for the most part, I want my skin and my mount to look like they go together, you know?
So well, that's true, like, yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, it is important, man. It's like transmog and WoW. It's like, you got to make sure, you know, on a much smaller scale, but you got to make sure either you do it right or you go, like, completely off the reservation and you've got Diablo riding the little billy goat unicorn.
Oh, I love doing that, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I went further down the Heroes 2.0 page, and level 5 player level, you get the 1,000 gems. And then after that, every 25 levels, you get 150 gems. So, like I said, it's not going to be coming often enough for it to make a real impact on you being able to buy stuff.
Okay. So whatever we've done right now, everything where we're at with our accounts and our individual heroes, it's all going to be translated into some sort of, like, here you go. Are we going to be handed some gems to get from what we should have had from all the leveling we did, or
I believe so. I forget. I mean, they said it should be a pretty smooth transition. Obviously, you'll have everything that you already own unlocked, and you're going to get a certain amount of loot crates, capped, I believe 70, depending on your total player level, which is the sum of all your hero levels. So obviously, you're going to get the thousand gems, because I'm assuming all of us are at least level 5 on our player or player accounts.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And then probably, I don't know, I'd have to do the math, but a pretty decent amount of gems for every 25 level after that.
Well, I mean, I guess we're only level 40, so there's not a whole lot else, though.
Nope. Yeah, but I believe with the addition of the hero levels being turned into your account level, total account level, it'll be much higher.
Right. So individual skins, like right now, if I wanted, say, the Ginger Dread Nazebo skin, I could just go buy it. Can you do that in 2.0, or do you have to luck out and get it in a loot crate?
So this is kind of the I guess negative we can take away from Heroes 2.0 is you can unlock them through the loot crates, or if you have enough shards, you can craft them. Those are going to be the only two options, unless it's on that weekly sale. They're going to be rotating items through that sale that are available to buy with gems. So that's probably the biggest negative you could take away from how they're implementing the system. So yes, it's going to be available, but not necessarily for the currency you're wanting to use.
So they're all the you know, the special skins and stuff, they're not going to be available at any time for BattleNet balance anymore.
They'll be available at certain times, it sounds like, from what they're making out to be.
So if there's a skin you really want, you've got like 6 days to go and buy it to make sure you get it. Then is that kind of where we're at?
Yeah, and okay. especially if you really want all of the variations of it,
right?
Because they're going to be separating out the skins into their three variations.
Right. Okay.
Man, okay, I've wanted Winter Veil Jaina forever, and for some reason I never pulled the trigger on it. And so now I guess if I have the materials, I'll be able to craft that then rather than having to wait until December. I do have the Chinese restaurant hostess Jaina, but I've wanted that Winter the Winter Veil Jaina one for
the dress? That one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, I pulled the trigger on that one a couple months ago. Probably after raid night with a few bourbons. Like,
it's funny, when you're playing Heroes at 2 in the morning after a couple drinks, all of a sudden the store doesn't seem that bad.
I've had
a few nights like that where I've bought some things and I was like, wait, why did I buy that?
Oh, I want to try Probius. Let's just buy him. $10 later, like, oh,
hey, you know, with I think I mentioned this, was it last week or so, but with the spring sale at the gear store, making a second order that I didn't realize I had made because I had I don't know, man, Beer Rob was in full effect, and I saw the email the next morning. I was like, what is this? Oh, wow, okay. Hey, honey, yeah. Expect another shipment of shirts here in a few days.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so I'm actually taking a look at the beta right now and looking at the store. So they're still going to have the dynamic bundles. So if you own items already in it, it's going to be cheaper.
Oh, nice.
And my fear about odd numbers of gems is rightfully in place, because I'm looking at the Genji Heroic bundle and I already own Genji because I bought him with gold on the PTR. So I'd get the three variations of the Oni skin, but it cost me 843 gems.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Why do you do this, Blizzard?
Yeah, it's just, that's exactly what happened with Microsoft points back in the day, man. I remember sitting there with I was buying these Call of Duty, the map packs and stuff that would come out later or whatever DLC there was. And then you can only buy Microsoft points in bulks of like $20, right? Or $15 or whatever it was. But the thing you wanted was like $8 or $9 or $12, and you'd be sitting there with like this fake money just sitting in this Microsoft account like forever until you bought enough DLC that you actually had enough left over to where it made a bigger amount that you could use later on. So I don't know. I think that's what's going to happen here is that you're just going to be sitting on all these gems and shards and just being like, well, okay, well, I guess I need to, maybe someday I'll get some more loot boxes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. You said something just now that I think was going to be one of my highlights of this conversation though, was that a particular hero that you had just purchased on the PTR. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Genji got announced at the Heroes Summit as well as Cassia, but Cassia's old news. She's already live, so who cares about her? But Genji, the ninja from Overwatch, is being brought over to Heroes of the Storm. And his kit is pretty much intact. Like, it feels very much like... you're playing the hero from Overwatch. He's really, really mobile and fast. And his trait allows him to jump, and that allows him to actually jump over obstacles and walls. So really skillful with that, you can really do some fun stuff with him. And the big thing is he's really susceptible to hard crowd control. I could see like Brightwing and getting stuck in a Malfurion route being pretty bad for him because his health pool is pretty low, which is understandable considering the damage output he puts in. And he's definitely going to be one of those heroes that just sits back and pokes, and then goes in for the kill when a hero's low, and able to back out after that. So, yeah, I mean, he's super cool. And they brought over Dragonblade, obviously, is one of his heroics, but the other one is X-Blade, and it's basically anime fan's dream, just jumping up in the air and slashing with this huge X on the ground, and it's really cool. And I actually think that might be the heroic to go with because of just the amount of damage it does, and it's going to combo really well with some other heroics.
I was watching the one of the, it may have been, I don't know, it may have been on the blog post that you put up, but I was watching a video that actually showed some of the moves, and I don't know, the Dragonblade one looked like it just didn't. It hit, but it was like it looked really slow. Like it took time in between each hit, and I just didn't know how it felt about that.
Yeah, it definitely feels a little slow. So I'm interested to see how it goes in more skilled players' hands, really. Because he's definitely going to be one of those heroes, kind of like Tracer, I feel like, where the skill ceiling on Genji is going to be really high. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be one of those heroes that I think a lot of people are going to try and struggle to find success with them, at least early mm-hmm. on. But as the game goes on, players learn how to play safer with him will be really cool. And I think using the deflect at the right time is going to be like the key to making him work.
Mm-hmm. That and I think just in general, like just like Tracer, he's got the he can attack while he's moving thing going on. I think that throws people off because like not a lot of, you know, we've gotten so used to stutter stepping over time that it's like a hero that attacks while they're moving just feels a little bit weird. Do you think?
Yeah, it definitely took some getting used to with Tracer, but now that we have Lucio as well, I think at least I'm getting used to it. I hope other players are as well, though. As we get more of these going forward.
Do you know, I still haven't played Lucio yet. My dad. I feel bad. I don't know. My buddy Justin absolutely loves him and like plays him pretty frequently, but I haven't had a chance to even mess with him yet. I heard he came out of the gate like not super strong because there was this whole, for a long time when a new hero came out, he was like really strong and like,
yeah,
you know, needed, people hadn't figured out a counter, but also people immediately were like crying nerf, nerf, nerf. So I don't know. I felt like they went away from that a little bit. What do you think about some of the new heroes coming out? Do you think they put them out like initially strong to get people excited to buy them, or you think they're kind of backing off that a little bit?
I think the conspiracy theorist out there is always like, oh yeah, they put it out really strong so people buy it and becomes the hero of the month, kind of flavor of the month. But it does seem like they've kind of stepped back a bit from that. I mean, Cassia came out relatively weak, but she'll be getting buffs in the 2.0 release of Heroes, and that'll be interesting to see what that does to her win rate. Genji definitely, at least initially, feels kind of like that, where he's not going to be that strong mm-hmm. at release. But he's definitely one of those heroes that you're going to have to be really careful about how far you move the needle to either side. Because if you make him too good, all of a sudden he's just wrecking people all over the place. Mm-hmm.
So there was one other big thing that got revealed as well, along with Genji. We want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, this is probably the more exciting thing for me, just because this is the uniqueness of Heroes, and that we're getting a new battleground as well with the Heroes 2.0, and it's going to be actually the map Hanamura from Overwatch. And because it's Heroes, because they wanted to do a payload mechanic with an Overwatch map, they decided, hey, it's Heroes, we can do whatever we want in the Nexus. We're going to put payloads on Hanamura. Obviously, if you played Overwatch, you know there are no payloads on Hanamura. Well, right. It's happening here. It's going to be a two-lane battleground, and in the similar vein of Towers of Doom, you won't be able to do direct damage to the core. Getting the payload to its destination will give a shot onto the core of the other team. Killing a fort or a keep will empower your next payload to do more damage, as well as there's a boss minion in the middle of the map that will do damage as well. The other really cool thing, and I'm really excited to see how players respond to this, is there are new mercenary types, completely brand new mercenary types for this battleground, that when you kill them, they drop an item, and that item is something you can use to help your team. There's going to be a recon mercenary that the item, it shoots out these like spirit dragons to the three nearest enemy heroes, so you'll be able to get vision of where they are when they get hit by these. And then there's a support one where it heals your team, which is can be pretty clutch, I imagine. And then there's another one, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but it allows you to plant down a basically a Torbjorn turret. You can even place it on the payload itself. And it's actually really cool. It's gonna be cool to see how players decide to play around these brand new mercenaries and just how they use the items. It's gonna take a bit. It took us a while at the playtest to figure out that you had to channel the items to pick them up and just automatically get them for capturing the mercenary camp. But it lets you choose who gets to hold the item. And similarly to the StarCraft map Braxis with the nukes. You can only hold one item at a time. So that'll be good. And you use it very similarly to how you use the nukes on that battleground.
This is completely the Overwatch treatment, and I love how they're able to mesh these universes together and still keep it true to Heroes or to Overwatch. When you're looking at, like you said, some of the mercenaries and everything, like you could just see like a complete, like one of them, maybe it's the big guy in the middle, kind of had this Reinhardt look about him. And there was, I just looking at all the assets, it's like very, very Overwatch in Heroes. And it's just so, I don't know, I'm a sucker for that. This is exactly why like I live in the Blizzard universe, man. It's just so good. And you see it and you're just like, just seeing it makes you hyped for it. How was your experience like being able to go to the summit and be, you know, see the stuff firsthand and see the people that made it and have time with them?
It was super cool because we got an email probably a month before the event, and they were just like, well, we're showing two new heroes in the battleground and some new stuff for the game. Like it was super vague, so we were all like, oh geez, what are they going to be showing? And then as it got closer to the date, I started realizing who all was coming. And I'm like, okay, they're announcing something pretty big. They're flying all these big name people out there, like Palytime and just anyone big in the hero scene was most likely there. It was pretty incredible. And it was almost like a mini BlizzCon a bit. And I know it was nice for a lot of the content creators who at BlizzCon might have a hard time kind of hanging out with the other content creators because they have fans there and or they're doing work and stuff like that. And this was really cool because we just got a lot of time to just hang out together, which we don't normally necessarily get to do. So it was really cool. And obviously it was super secretive. We had to like be really quiet about what was going on. It was really hard because it was basically announced in two stages. The first one was like a couple of days after the event. Like it wasn't too bad for that. But then we had to hold on to this information about Genji and Hanamura for almost a month.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I'm just happy we can finally talk about all this stuff because it was a really cool event. Blizzard always does a really good job for these things, and they fed us and let us drink, and that was really cool. Nice.
What was the highlight of the event itself for you? Like I'm just thinking about it, like going to BlizzCon and actually meeting some of the people that I, you know, even friends that do this stuff that I love, and I can't imagine going and just being able to spend that type of time with people there and just soak it all in and just be, you know, your first look at this stuff, like exclusive access, you know.
Yeah, I mean, probably my favorite thing is something that no one's ever going to see, unfortunately, because I don't think anyone recorded it, because we weren't really allowed to record a video inside the venue, was that I got to cast a few games on the Hanamura map, just to everyone there. It was super cool, because, like, they had these PCs kind of in the middle that were the PvP stations where it was always 5-on-5, and then there were other stations around the outside that let you just play AI games, so you could just easily record footage of stuff like that, because we got to direct capture from the PCs there for our video stuff. So that was really cool. But yeah, it was just fun. It was later into the night. People were properly using the open bar and they were having a lot of fun. So it was very silly. It was very silly and fun. And it was just a great event. And we'll see. I'm curious how the launch will go next week, though, because there's a lot to it.
I'm really excited. I think, like, you know, it's a really, really good game, and it's actually one of my favorite parts of BlizzCon is watching the championships there. So I think, like, this is a really great step in the right direction to kind of bring it up to speed of some of the other IPs that they have, like, you know, Hearthstone and Overwatch with the reward system and the leveling system and all that. So.
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
Gerald, did you have any other questions?
I don't think so. The big one I was worried about was I'm sitting on a little over 30,000 gold, so that's still going to be usable. So that's good.
That's a lot of gold, man.
Yeah, I know. I should be spending it, but I haven't been. Do you know what the dollar to... You might have mentioned already and I missed it, but the dollars to gem conversion rate is...
I'm not sure. I can try to see if they have that published somewhere. I'm sure they do. Because on the PTR, they don't have that right now.
Oh, okay. But I'm guessing it'll be similar. Like, it'll probably cost similar to what it does now if you did the conversion after buying with gems and to dollars. So,
The nice thing about going to the gem system, though, is that they can kind of incentivize buying more and giving you, like, you get an additional 1,000 gems if you buy 10,000 or something like that. Whereas with real money, you can't. It's really awkward to be able to do that. I'm hoping I'm pretty sure that they're going to do something like that, because they kind of hinted at doing kind of incentive stuff like that.
On the flip side of that, if you're spending in gems, you're not realizing how much actual cash you're spending.
That's the whole point, man.
yeah, that is the thing.
So there's two sides to that coin. But no, I think I'm good.
Jimmy, did you have anything else you wanted to cover that maybe we missed, or any highlights or anything like that?
I feel like that's everything, I think. I think we got through it all. There was a lot to cover with 2.0, and it's going to be really cool to see. Just because, obviously, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what they're going to do for Heroes this year. And I think we didn't even talk about esports stuff, but I think this could also help esports going forward, just because now they can offer more cool cosmetic items and potentially make them, like, for your favorite team, and a portion of that goes to the team or something like that. Like, oh, I want a Gale Force esports spray or a banner or something like that. And that the system definitely allows them to do that in the future.
I may have told this story last week, but I was watching Heroes of the Dorm on my phone, and my son, he's 3 years old, he comes up to me, he's like, what are you doing? And he thought I was playing a game, and he wanted to play, and I said, well, I'm watching a game, I'm watching Heroes, and he's like, oh, I want to watch. So I ended up putting it onto the TV, and we watched it, and he got so hyped, he was so into it. Anybody riding a horse as a mount, like, he was like, he was all in. This is, like, the greatest thing that's ever happened. Like, he was really torn at one point because his favorite color is blue, so he really wanted to root for the blue team, but, you know, Malfurion over on the red team was riding a horse, so he wasn't really sure. Like, he was genuinely, like, asking me, like, what do I do here, Dad? Like, I don't know. This guy's riding a horse, but he's on the wrong team. I don't know what to do here. So it was a super good experience. And I'm sitting here like, this is the time that we live in, right? This is where, you know, esports is, where I can actually put it onto my television and I can watch it with my kids, right?
Yeah.
Such a good time. Well, a couple days later, he goes up to my wife and he's like, Mom, I want to watch Heroes. And she's like, I'm not watching Heroes. You got to talk to your dad. So I get home from work. I walk in the door and he goes, Dad. And I go, what? what's going on? He goes, we need to watch Heroes right now. I'm like, okay, okay. Like,
that's awesome.
So I don't know, man. I just feel like it's a good place to be in, especially like as you're saying, as a content creator, to be able to cast these shows and do podcasts about it. And like, it's just like, I love this age that we live in, that esports is becoming more and more legitimate. That was my story.
All right.
No, that was an awesome story. I always love hearing about kids watching esports. I think that's so cool.
I do have one last question for you then. This was one of our favorite Heroes questions that we would ask. And it is, do you play with the camera locked or unlocked?
Unlocked.
Gosh, dude, I just, like, I got into it for a little while, and then I was just like, man, forget this. I think I was trying to play somebody like, was it like Rexar or something that, uh-huh. that required a lot more micromanagement? And I was like, you know what? I just turned it back on. I was like, forget it.
Yeah, I found out actually Monday. I was casting with Haas from who was a part of the LSU team at Dorm. Uh-huh. He plays with lock camera, and good I was him, blown man. Away.
See, and he's a baller
that's a,
too.
That's a good question. This is that's a really good question for Heroes people. I like it.
Well, if you haven't already, make sure to come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests that you have heard here on this show. That's discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for shout-outs this week?
Definitely Jimmy for taking time out of his evening, or his week, his schedule. I know you do your Overwatch show and your Heroes show, so like I really appreciate you just taking the time to come and hang out and talk some 2.0 with us.
Yeah, no problem. Always fun to talk to us.
Daryl, thank you for being a good bro host and helping when I forgot that I didn't send you a clip today. So, what do you got, man?
The raid team, as always, we had a good raid on Friday. We cruised through normal and then even got some bosses in after that, and then played some Heroes afterwards, which is always fun after a few drinks as well. I'm trying to remember who was all there. I think it was Austin and Justin and Salty, and I know I'm missing someone and I feel so bad. But anyway,
Jab.
Was it Jab or was it Pink? I don't remember now. I feel bad. But anyway, big shout out to all those guys, everyone on the raid team and everyone who joined us afterwards. And of course, a big shout out to Jimmy for coming and talking Heroes 2.0. I'm really looking forward to this. It sounds like some exciting changes, and I'm hoping it'll keep my wallet in check after a few drinks and playing Heroes. So hopefully this will be helping. Jimmy, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Just thanks to everyone who supports my content, reads the articles I've been putting up about the summit and 2.0 and all that. And just thanks for reading, watching my content. Appreciate it.
Well, before we wrap this up, Jimmy, why don't you tell people where they can reach you, find you, stalk you, like you, follow you, or about this or any of your other work that you do?
Yeah, the easiest way to follow me is on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, DJTYRANT. Same username at Twitch as well. And if you're wanting to follow the podcast that I'm on, blizzpro.com has all the info there, and you can watch past episodes on youtube.com/blizzpro. They're all there archived. If you want to watch, they're available in all sorts of different forms. If you want to watch the video of the podcast, you can do so there, but there's also on iTunes and wherever else you get your podcast, you can listen to them there if you're into the audio only thing.
All right, well, that wraps up episode 164 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!